over and got that bull was on top of that, a walking on that. It was, oh, it's a good bit further from here down to where, where you make a turn down there, turn up here. Yeah. That old dog, I had him tied up right behind the house, and I went around, got him, led him around there. I pointed across the river there. He just catched on what I wanted right now, and I just unsnapped the chain. And the way he went down, he crossed the swinging bridge and got over there. He was right on that bull before that bull knowed he was there. And when he got there, the first thing he done, he laid him to the nose, and he trained the ends with him right there. And I got across there, and that bull would try to jump the fence, and that dog would throw him every time. And he was a little dog, too. He wasn't a big dog. And I got me a big fence rail, and I got around, and that bull aimed to go over the top of that water fence, and run 1 foot down in there, fouled him. And I took that fence rail, and I gave him working over that fence rail, and he got out of that water. You never did that bull go back in that pen again. That was the last of that bull. All you had to do was just tell the dog just quit. That's the smartest dog ever I seen. Take him all around. What'd you anything call him? You want to hunt for. He was good. He was a good rabbit dog. But when you went in a laurel patch, you need to think you're going to hear that dog barking if he wasn't on a bear. He just hunt that over just like he knowed what you meant. And he, when he found one, he'd fight it so hard you could put in there and get every one of them, too. I got hurt in a wreck, and I lived over there next to Count and in the hospital at Richwood. And Zeph come over there while I was in the hospital. I had a red bone hound, too, to hunt with him. And Zeph never killed any bear yet. I told him, I said, I want you to go back by and get them dogs, take them over and kill them till I get out of here. Or keep them till I get out of here. So he come back by that night and got him and brought him over home. Dad leave that home out. I was on Saturday night. And the next, they never turned them loose. They kept them both tied. Afraid they might get out and get somebody to pick them up or something. On Friday morning, Dad told Zeph, he said, you'll turn them dogs loose, head them up the ridge, let them get a little exercise. He turned them dogs loose just after breakfast instead of back the mountain the ridge there. I'd fool around, they worked around there, him and the boy there at home, Dad and him, dinner time come. Dad, first thing when he left the table, three times a day, he'd take bread out for his dog. That was his habit. So he took the bread out for them dogs and they hadn't come back. He said to Zeph, them dogs ain't come back, and they found something. He said, you better get up to that ridge and listen for them. And he had an old 32-20 Marlin rifle. He bought it when he was a boy. And Zeph used it some. He went in, he got that old rifle, he took back up that ridge and listened for the dogs, and he went about a mile and a half, and he could hear that black dog barking, and he couldn't hear the hound. And he got a little closer and he heard the hound. And he was working his both trees, you know, just as hard as he could bark. He went on up there to him and big forked maple. He was barking up that big forked maple and he looked right in the top of that maple. See the bear's head sticking around the limb looking at him. But he started shooting. And it started down that tree. And by gosh, he hit it enough. When it fell off, he died. The dogs catched it and it didn't get to hurt them. And he came back home, told Dad, and they took a sled, had a pony there. They went back up in there, loaded that bear on that sled, they tied the dogs up. That was on Friday. On Monday, turned them loose again and they headed right back in there. And 100 yards of the same place, they treed another one the same. This is a big, it didn't go 300. Right in 100 yards of the same place to treat another. And he went right back there, killed it the same place. And now that put Zeph the bear hunting right there. He's the craziest fella I've seen. I've seen him, it wouldn't surprise me sometimes some fella said, did you hear about Zeph? One just knocked him all to pieces. I've seen him walk up and kick him off his dog and shoot him. Yeah, crazy, I'm not going to do that. I'll knock it off a club or something, I'm not walking up. Did I ever tell you about I killed one in the club? Ah, that ain't been too awful long ago. He kept telling me to go hunting with him at night. I got so I couldn't get around to do much good. He kept wanting me to go hunting with him at night. He had some good dogs. So I told him I'd be up out of the evening and go out a while. He said they'll treat us quick again at night as they will in the daytime. And they just made that new road back around on the ground behind the old place, going way on about the ridge there. They logged that in there, it was logged. So we drove up around there about, mile and a half, around that road, something like that. And one of them dogs was ahead. It hadn't turned out, the others still had three or four in the truck. One of them Holbrook boys up there was with us. And just had that old single barrel 37 model shotgun in his head, got an old 12 gauge. He killed, boy, that old thing killed a lot of game. And just now, turned the dog ahead of us, he started carrying on. His head just turned the others loose. They went right down over the bank and went out of here. Well, we drove on around there, we couldn't hear them, no play. We went to the end of the road. Couldn't hear them. Zeph said they must have went back down the river in place of up the river. So we come back there and a couple of hundred yards of where we'd turn them out. And here they went down there and switched right down along the river, trying to get back across the hill before they overtook it. And by gosh, they'd weigh about 40, 50 pounds, 60 pounds apiece of that. And they put them up a big maple. And they was barking up there. Went down there, and Jeff, he wanted me to shoot. And I said, I can't see enough to shoot up there. I said, just, you want to kill one, kill it. Just, we'll take it in and eat it. He said, I'm going to kill that big one. Well, he shot it out. Left the other two up there. So we about to come back out the truck. Put the dogs back in the truck and brought them back home, got us some sacks and stuff, and went back, skin him, bring him in. Had to carry it up the hill a little way. And them other two were still up there yet. They never come down. We didn't even much have a gun. We left everything at the house. And one began to growl. We skinned it right square at the roots of the tree there, skinned that old. I said, that thing coming down, Zeph. Now the Holbrook boys just hold the lights, the flashlights all we had. And carbine light. And that thing went to growling. I told Zeph, I said, that thing coming down, you jump on. Yeah. I said, you better darn if it ain't. I said, it's getting closer. We couldn't see it, but we could tell it was getting a little closer. Coming down the backside of the tree from us all the time. So I said, I'm getting me a club. And he comes down there, I'll knock him off if he jumps on me anyhow. That Holbrook boy, he was scared to death. And Jeff said, well, I'll get one too. Like the one I got was, I've hit it over around the side of that tree to see if it was good and solid. It must have been about that big, around about 6 foot long. I don't know what, some kind of hardwood though. I broke it off a limb that had been cut there. Zeph, he got one. I said, Zeph, did you sample that? That might be rotten. Oh, no, he said, it ain't rotten. He said, if it come down here, we'll just whoop him back up that tree. We just skinned away there, and just now, my gosh, it scratched that tree, and it wasn't 6-8 feet above our head. Come down on Zeph's side. Well, he struck out at that stick. I don't know where he never touched it, but that stick flew all to pieces. It just whipped right around on the side of the tree, just right broadside to me. And that boy was back with that carbide light back out, 20 feet from the tree. I just come around that there pole, and I just measured that thing, and I knocked him, I bet you further from here out of this outside door there. And you know why I killed that thing? It doesn't happen. Jeff said, I'll be damned if you didn't kill that. That's as short as this world. I said, by God, I meant to kill. I ain't going to be eat up with that thing down here. Why, they eat a man up there. In the dark, you know, that old Hopebrook boy, we didn't have no lights. He was a whole light. I never will forget that. Jeff said, I'll be God damned if you didn't kill that. That's as short as this world. I said, hell, I meant to kill it. Boy, at that time, though, that maced that dog.
What was that dog's name? Did that dog have a name?
Tip.
Tip?
Yeah. Oh, I was telling you, if I had that dog, I needed money. If I had the dog, money wouldn't buy it. Back 2 or 3 years old like it used to be. I'll tell you, just like up here, if we didn't have a dog here, we couldn't keep a thing. Yeah. Now, it's nothing to hear one of these dogs go to barking and you go out there and they've got a possum or bear, been bear come all around us, you know.
Yeah.
I killed one right there, Blue Lancy's house. But the last one I killed done me killing a bear. Think about taking him in. I wouldn't. If I killed one and weighed 1,000 pounds, he'd just stay there. I wouldn't bring him in. You just put your, have to see it to believe what the shape that thing was in. That was a pretty bear. Well, I'd say 150 to 175 pounds. And its hams just as, it was fat, just right for good eating. Nancy, she hold the light there. And she said, Daddy, let's take the hams off of it, take them up and put them in the freezer, come back and get the rest. I'd say from her house, might have been 150. Might have been 200 yards down there, not any further than that, the most, down in that little holler there. Well, I started gutting it then. I had it over half skin. She said, Daddy, what in the world is that coming out of that thing? He said, look at that. Is that snakes? I'll take an oath you had to see them to bleed. Them would run around a foot long or more, and as big as my finger, and there's worms that look like fish worms, only they were more whiter than a fish worm. Huh. And a gallon can wouldn't have held what was in that thing's belly. I like bear meat, always did, but no more bear meat for me. After I seen that shape that thing is in. I just kicked it over the hole, covered him up with leaves and stuff. Took Larry down there the next morning, Larry was working. Let him look at that. He went to vomit. He said, Christ Almighty, he said, I don't blame you for pushing the divorce aside. After that, though, last summer, I believe, sis come downstairs and she said, John, them dogs are cutting off the shine you ever hear. We had them all tied up, but mine was tied and Larry's was tied. He had a couple down there. She said, you ought to see what's the matter. She walked to the door and she said, I hear cans rattling down there. About 2 o'clock in the morning. She said, I hear cans rattling down there. Well, I got up and put my house shoes on. Keep shotgun sitting there. Just had number 4 shot in. I had some buckshot, but I hadn't put them in. I got the old gun, flashlight, and walked down there. And got a garbage can sitting right out just from the house there, maybe 40, 50 yards out there. And I walked down there. Between her dogs and the bear, and I turned the light down there about from out there to that sign there. There's a bear, I'm telling you the truth, it looked like he was out high eating all that tearing them cans and stuff out of there. Hmm. It didn't seem like he scared a bit either when I flashed that light on him. I thinks, well, Christ almighty, am I seeing something? I turned the light off and switched it back the other way. I think, well, that surely ain't a bear. I just switched it back around and he just raised his head up out there. Just turned around, just as all concerned as nothing going on, and stepped back down in the road. Well, I had them number four shots in that gun, and I just poured a load of them number four shot right in his rear end. And I'd like for you to hear him go. He made him roll out of there, and I'm going to tell you, he's never been back in that garbage can since. The Zeph got after one down there at the mouth of that holler, just blew him out of the holler last fall. And it hit a tree, but it wouldn't what stay for them to come to the tree. It'd come down and cross the river on the other side. And they'd follow that thing plumb to Camden. So, sometime 9 or 10 o'clock when they got after it, and it was daylight, they left that thing in, not down at Allingdale. Zeph said he knew just as well as anything that that was the one I shot, that fine shot. Because he wasn't going to let anybody come up for him. They talk about that laugh yet. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, though, if I didn't put the speed to him, though, that fine shot. And see if a man didn't have no dogs or nothing, they'd tear up everything.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Sis going to Richwood. What was it? Saturday or Sunday?
Last Saturday.
We went up across this way into Richwood. And just when we turned down on the Richwood side there, I swear if they wasn't a bear standing there by the road that high. Yeah. There's three cars behind them. They all got a good look at it. And it, we was ahead, and it was eating something on the side of the road. Boy, that old thing was shabby looking. Huh. An awful big frame. But it was poor. You can tell he was awful poor. He wasn't much afraid. He just made a jump or two down out of the road. Of course, we couldn't stop. We was right in that traffic fall right after us. But every one of them got to see.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I hate to see them come in.
Yeah.
They'll destroy everything people's got. And I just know they can hurt you.
Yeah.
Indeed, I'm telling you, if they get started right, you'll be gone somewhere, maybe someday. There'll be nobody down there. And you'll come back. You'll really have a misery.
Yeah.
Now, the fellow over here, of course, bear didn't do that. Them old German Shepherd dog first come around. You know, we ain't had them in this country too awful many years.
Mm-hmm.
But a man lived up there on Pleasant Ridge, McAvoy. Oh, good old fella. Had 24 ewes. And some of his people got one of them German Shepherd dogs. A pup, bought it up there for him and give it to him. And he kept it there, wouldn't he? About every time he'd go away, he'd tie it. They went away one Sunday, him and the old woman. And they left that dog loose, and when they come back, every one of them sheep was killed. He just killed the dog and big sinkhole and piled them all in that sinkhole. Now, them kind of a dog you can't trust.
Yeah, I know. The one dog I've had in my sheep was one of them.
Yeah?
And I happened to be there, and I shot at it and ran it out.
Well, I'll tell you, boys, a man don't know how quick things like that. Mm-hmm. We couldn't keep nothing up here. Yeah. Wasn't for a dog.
Did you have sheep when you were a boy?
Oh, we kept sheep all the time. Hogs. Yeah. You wouldn't believe it, but I could take you over Webster Springs and show you that. Tax papers over there. My dad standing count of hogs, he didn't know how many he had, was 200, he paid taxes on 250 hogs a year. He didn't know how many he had. It was all in woods, you know.
Yeah.
Chestnuts were, a lot of chestnut timber that they just get, but that chestnut fat mass or pork is the best, well, that's the best meat you can get.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it no more, but back them days, all chestnuts, you know. But that blight hit them and killed them all.
Would he mark his hogs or anything?
Oh, yeah, two splits in the right ear, one in the left.
Uh-huh.
That was his mark. Uh-huh. Well, other people had them the same way, you know, they'd have marks. Some cut a whole ear and some cut a chunk out of their ear.
Uh-huh.
They had a different brand to put on them. But Dad's mark was two splits in the right ear and one in the left. It didn't hurt him too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it didn't hurt him anyhow, as far as I'm concerned. And seemed like he wanted to go on Sunday morning and change them, like mark the pigs, you know, change them all. You know, around them rock cliffs, and them old sows had pigs in under them rock cliffs. We had a little old feist dog. Called him Watch. And he just was a shade bigger than that little old yellow dog I was showing out there. And that was about the handiest thing around there you ever seen. He was a good dog, a good game dog. He'd go up on them rock cliffs, take his feet and roll them pigs out to them. Yes, sir, he'd go up under there and get them pigs and roll them out. Dad changed them. Well, I bet you, times we'd go out maybe change 80, 90 in one day's time. He just had a certain time he'd go and make a raid and go around them big rock cliffs, you know, where them old sows had them.
Uh-huh.
We'd start around there. I laughed at him, though, never will forget this time. We'd take a sack of corn. He'd go one way and I'd go the other. Go to them big rock cliffs, you know, and just the whole corn thrown into them hogs. The old sows maybe had anywhere from 6 to 15 pigs. And there's one old sow, she'd take advantage. You go and feed her, again you get over on the next point to feed the bunch over there, she'd have hers eat up and head around and come in the other way. I had a little old 22 Winchester. Dad bought it for me new. I'd take it with me, you know. We was both together that morning, going down across the holler, and we'd done fed that old sow back there when she had a bunch of pigs, ate the thing, back on the hillside. She seen us, or she knowed how the shortcut was to get over that next rock cliff. And you could see up the holler. This is a little snow on. Dad said, I see that old sow. He's pretty wicked about it, because he said, I see that goddamned old sow making that, crossing that yonder to head itself and get to that rock cliff to take the others to feed. Give me that gun, he said, I'll shoot ahead of it and scare it back. I just rested the gun. He just shot that hog up in it. He said, what do you reckon caused her to fall? We went up there and I'd take an old fee in and shot that old sow right to the side of the head, killed her. He went to cuss and he said, oh, God damn, he said, that didn't beat anything I ever seen. He said, way up the holler, my gosh, didn't look like it was carry up or just an accidental shot, I reckon.
Yeah.
He didn't even shoot ahead of it and kick the snow out or something, maybe scare the old sow back.
Uh-huh.
Boy, they'd go wild, you know, in the fall of the year. My God, this is wild as any deer. You had to have dogs stop them before you could kill them.
Mm.
Take a horse and drag them in. I worked to work 12 o'clock at night many a time of dragging them in.
Horse.
Yeah. You could take, sometimes it wasn't too big, you could take two side to side. Pull them to the nose, you know.
You could take a what?
You could take them. Put a chain on her nose and pull two of them on the ground together. But if it's too big, you'd have to couple them out. Just tie a chain around one's legs and then put it on his nose. Around you can loop a chain behind them tusks up here around one's nose and hang it or anything. You know.
Uh-huh.
I've had as high as 3 and 4 of them in a string coming down. We had a little old path down that ridge. Oh, 12 o'clock at night. Come to a steep little upgrade, have to cut them too, take one or two of them up at a time.
Uh-huh.
Then we'd dress them up and bring them over there to cow and put them on the train to ship them. Just the best hog. Some people want them with the head and feet on, some want the head and feet off.
Uh-huh.
Jim Harrison had a store there, right just above where that flower shop is there, on the street there, Cam, back up the street, just a little ways there. When he went out of business, he quit the store, sold out, or quit. He got, he wasn't able to look after it. He owed Dad $1,500 and some dollar for pork that he took in that fall. Of course, he paid it. But when he was going out of business, he paid out that money for that pork. Mm-hmm. It's hard job, but yet, back in the days, you make pretty good money out. We'd take a load in, and we'd always bring a load of groceries back in a wagon. It was a big family, so it was all of somebody else. We hardly ever sit down at the table eating ourselves. Back on the mountain, you wouldn't think it'd be any company. But there's one fellow I'll never forget. His name was Will Burse. He went down around, what's the name of that place? It was in that brochure, Clarksburg. And he got courting a girl down there. And we'd raised him plenty early. Dad and Mom plenty raised that fella. Dad lived around close all the time. People was hard up at them days and time. And he took a notion he's gonna marry that girl. He got a hold of one of these old Edison graph phone. Played the cylinder records, you know. I don't know, I don't think Seth's got it yet, but he brought that graph phone up there. And he sold it to Dad for $5. For $15. $5, I believe. Yeah. And Dad gave him a check for the $5. Well, he went out there and he raised that check from $5 to $50. And he bought clothes and everything, and then that girl was going to get married and headed, got on the train and went down there. Well, Dad went out to town the next morning, and this old fella cashed the check, Harold, in that big old building right straight across there where they had a big store there, Harold. Had a store. He hollered at Dad and he said, I cashed that check for that fella yesterday for $50 you give him. Dad said, I didn't give nobody no check for $50. Well, he said, I've done got a cash. Well, Dad just went to the phone right there and called him and told him not to take it to the bank that he hadn't given. And that fella went right on down there. Jane Lou, he's on the outside of Jane Lou. I forget the name of that little old place. But just when he got off of the train, he had all these clothes and everything he'd bought for this girl and getting married in and everything. Why, the law got him and brought him back up here. Well, them days, fortune check, penitentiary all was then. And if I ain't mistaken, Dad didn't want to prosecute him. But they went ahead anyhow. Uh-huh. You do break the law then. If you didn't want to prosecute, you done prosecuted yourself. So they gave him 2 years. And they sent him to penitentiary. And I swear, when he got out of penitentiary, he come right straight back up home. Yeah. Never with a great big husky fella. He meant to marry that girl. And I believe he told Dad, he said, I had it in my mind to send you back, go to work and send you back that money. He said, that's what I had in mind. Dad said, he said, I didn't prosecute you. He said, that check's what prosecuted you. And he said, I told him I didn't bite the check for $50 and for him not to take it for $5. Told him what he paid him for $5 for. He said, I don't blame you a bit. He said, it's my fault. And he come back. He stayed around a lot after that. And I don't know. It seemed to me like he died. Oh, of course he did by this time. But he didn't marry the girl. The one he was supposed to. There's an old fella Maybe you heard about that, so up here.